For most people, the new year is a time to reflect and make new resolutions. Well, Iranians aren't that different when it comes to New Year's traditions. For some time, public figures in Iran have celebrated the New Year or Nowruz by coming on TV and talking about their intentions for the next year.
Eid Saeed Nowruz.
Iran's leader is no exception to that rule. On the first day of spring, when Iranians begin to celebrate their new year, Ayatollah Khamenei is the first person who comes on TV to give his spring speech. The talk usually sets the tone for national policy and lays out a general blueprint on what the country needs to focus on for the 365 days ahead, and this year has been named the Year of Economic Jihad.
In sale. جاری را که از این لحظه آغاز می شود ما بایستی متوجه کنیم به اساسی ترین مسائل کشور و محور همه اینها به نظر من مسائل اقتصادی است لذا من این سال رو سال جهاد اقتصادی نامگذاری می کنم و انتظار دارم از مسئولان کشور چه در دولت چه در مجلس چه در بخش های دیگری که مربوط به مسائل اقتصادی می شوند و همچنین از ملت عزیزمان که در این صحنه در عرصه اقتصادی با حرکت جهادگونه کار بکنند.
The name implies that both people and government need to make jihad-like efforts in order to lay the groundwork for years of economic growth. Ahmad Karimi, General Secretary of the Islamic Association for the Guilds, has his own spin on who should take part in this economic jihad.
لازم هستش که همه کسانی که توانایی دارن این اختصاصا مربوط نمیشه به قوای سگانه. ضمن اینکه اونها در رأس موضوع هستن، هر کدوم برای خودشون وظایفی دارن، همه ما هم وظیفه داریم. خب طبیعیه که بیش از همه مسائل تجار، بازرگانان، اصناف و آحاد مردم و حتی مصرف کنندگان میتونن در این جهاد سازندگی حضور داشته باشن.
About one week after Iran's leader made his message of economic jihad public, a book was out with the same title. Its author told Iran Today that the book is a how-to for anyone who wants to get acquainted with this new concept.
کسانی که در عرصه های اقتصادی بناس فعالیت بکنن بایستی شاهراه ها و اون سرشاخه هایی که بناس در رابطه با جهاد اقتصادی انجام بدن اونها رو بدونن دانستن اونها بر اساس تعالیم دینی یک ضرورت بود لذا ما سعی کردیم که به خاطر تأمین این ضرورت این کتاب تدوین بشه
While for some people the word jihad rings the bell of holy war, for the world's over 1 billion Muslim population, the word has a different meaning altogether. Iran Today went to the central city of Qom and spoke to Islamic scholar Abbas Ali Barati in order to get a better idea of what jihad really means.
Jihad is to sacrifice. Jihad is to take in consideration general goals and objectives and forget about your individual goals and benefits and interests. Because of that, it is called a jihad. So jihad is not a kind of offensive war, is not a kind of aggression to others, unlike what is understood amongst the public opinion in the West.
So jihad is not synonymous with war. Its literal meaning is struggle, the struggle between good and bad. It means to work hard, to do the right thing. Jihad means serious and sincere struggle on the personal as well as on the social level. Perhaps it was such an understanding of this concept which led to the formation of Jihad for Reconstruction in Iran. On June 17, 1987, after the end of the Iran-Iraq War, an organization was born that took responsibility for much of what governments were originally meant to do. Building roads, health centers, and water and power supply stations were at the heart of the organization's to-do list. One of the responsibilities of this institute was to provide basic infrastructure for all of Iran's 70,000 villages. At the time of the revolution, only 4,300 villages, 6% of the country's total, had any electricity. By March 2001, thanks to Jihad for Reconstruction, 99% of all rural homes had electricity. Other infrastructure projects in the countryside included installing piped water systems, providing 850,000 village households out of 4.5 million total with potable water by 1999. And all that work seems to have paid off. Iranian MP Abbas Rajai told Iran Today about how far the country's agriculture industry has gone in the past 30 years.
کشاورزی در کشور ما با توجه به اینکه در اختیار بخش غیر دولتی هست و بیش از 97% کشاورزی کشور توسط مردم انجام میشه میتونیم بگیم که یک حرکت جدی و روبرشتی رو دنبال میکنه ما در طی سالهای بعد از پیروزی انقلاب اسلامی سالانه حدود 5 میلیون تن افزایش محصول رو داشتیم به گونه‌ای که امروز بیش از 105 میلیون تن محصولات مختلف کشاورزی رو در کشور تولید می‌کنه.
دوستان استعذار دارن که شرکت‌های آب و فاضلاب
If it had come down to names and numbers, as the head of the Parliament's Agricultural Commission, Rajai is the man who knows exactly what products Iran has come to be self-sufficient in producing.
از جمله محصولاتی رو که می‌تونیم بگیم یا در مرحله خودکفایی قرار گرفتیم و یا در آستانش قرار داریم گندم هست که حدود 14 میلیون تن در حال حاضر تولید داریم گوشت قرمز هست که ما حدود 950 هزار تن تولید گوشت قرمز داریم و گوشت سفید مرغ که حدود 1 میلیون و 600 هزار تن تولید داریم و اینها عددهای بسیار قابل قبول و قابل ارائه است که نشون دهنده این است ما در دوران پس از پیروزی انقلاب اسلامی توفیقات بسیار خوبی رو داشتیم.
How about industry? Is Iran's development in the industrial sector making a name for itself? Lawmaker Aziz Akbarian seems to know what steps Iran needs to take to make sure it's on the right track.
صنعت ما یک صنعت رو به رشدیه. یک صنعتی است که داره از مونتاژ تبدیل به تولید میشه. کار بسیار عظیمی باید صورت بگیره. عقب موندگی بسیار دیرینه ای ما داریم. یک صنعتی داریم که نیاز به یک تحول اساسی همه ساله داره و شتاب زیادی باید بهش بدیم که بتونیم در دنیای توأم با فناوری روزانه ما بتونیم رقابت بکنیم.
But now let's get back to economic jihad. That's what Iran's leader has named this Iranian year. On March 28th, he paid a visit to the southern city of Asaluye, where the South Pars petrochemical complex is placed. For Ayatollah Khamenei, this is one way of going head to head with the sanctions that are imposed on the country.
جهاد اقتصادی صرفاً تلاش اقتصادی نیست. جهاد یک بار معنایی ویژه‌ای دارد. هر تلاشی را نمی‌شود گفت جهاد. در جهاد حضور و رویارویی با دشمن مفروض است. امت اسلامی
Iran's leader believes those who were behind the tough sanctions against Iran had every intention to bring its economy to its knees. But that has not happened. Iran's leader said the sanctions have failed to stop Iran from making progress in every field. Enter economic jihad. Iran's leader usually lays out the roadmap of what is expected of officials to follow, and it didn't take long for President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to back this up. Ahmadinejad's official website quoted the president as saying that economic jihad should be realized in every aspect of the Iranian people's lives. Ahmadinejad urged his team of cabinet ministers and officials to try their best to speed up the country's economic growth. Iran's president doesn't try very hard to hide the fact that he is very proud of what his government has accomplished, especially getting rid of subsidies that had been crippling the economy for the past 30 years. Ahmadinejad has even promised to tackle economic problems such as housing and unemployment and improve the country's banking system through the subsidy reform plan. All in all, the president has said that he wants to see the day when there's a better distribution of wealth in the country. But Iran's president's plans have been described as ambitious at best by some experts. Saeed Leilaz says Iran's economy entered a recession over 3 years ago, and he doesn't believe Tehran was able to break free from this downward spiral.
از اواخر سال 1386 به بعد اقتصاد ایران وارد رکودی شده که هنوزم توش قرار داره. این در حالی است که اقتصاد جهانی در این 3-4 سال یک بار وارد یک دوره رکود شدید شده، به طوری که متوسط رشد اقتصاد جهان به زیر 3% رسید، یعنی منفی 3% شد و الان بالای 3%، یعنی رو متوسط رشد اقتصاد جهان حدود 4% الان در دنیا، در حالی که اقتصاد ایران در تمام این 3-4 سال یک آهنگ بسیار رکود آمیزی رو داشته و به نظر من کمتر از 1.5% بوده متوسط نرخ رشد اقتصاد ایران.
Iran's deputy economy minister Bijan Safavi doesn't agree with such a grim description of Iran's economy.
ما با یک تحریک ناچیزی حتی در قیمت‌های نفت میتونیم به این کچ آب دست پیدا بکنیم. چطوری نرخ درس رشد مثلا 1% یا این حدود برای ما پیش بینی میشه؟ میخوام عرض بکنم که با واقعیات ساختاری ما اصلا جور در نمیاد. ما اتفاقا بایستی با رشدهای حداقل 5-6% مواجه بشیم، یعنی در شرایط طبیعی بایستی با نرخهای 5-6% مواجه باشیم.
Ahmadinejad's new subsidies plan has pushed inflation to an annual rate of 15%. Iran's official inflation rate was 12.4% during the last Iranian year, which ended on March 20th, still much lower than around 25% in 2008. Still, many Iranians seem to think that real inflation is much higher than the official figure. Business Monitor International estimated that consumer price inflation and producer price inflation will average at least 20% year on year in 2011. But Iran's president has had a major supporter for his economic reform plans all along, the country's leader. In his New Year's speech, Ayatollah Khamenei praised the president's subsidy reform plans and called it Tehran's most important achievement in the previous year. On December 19, 2010, Iran began a long-awaited subsidy reforms plan. The number one priority of the plan was to patch up the country's economy by phasing out energy and food subsidies. Ahmadinejad spent more than 2 years trying to convince the parliament to let him ease fuel and other subsidies. The International Monetary Fund told Iran something it knew all along, that cutting subsidies would generate more revenues for the country and put an end to the wasteful use of energy. Under the plan, all subsidies will be gradually removed during a 5-year period. The cuts, which target consumer goods such as gasoline, natural gas, and food, are said to be one of the most important moves in Iran's recent economic history. Surely, such a huge move was bound to have some sort of aftershock. So in order to ease the pain of increased prices, the government gave every family member a sum of around $80 in cash subsidies for a 2-month period. The handouts did manage to keep people quiet as prices of important consumer and food staples rose, the price of bread doubled, and gas prices as much as quadrupled. Time and again, Iran's president said that despite tough sanctions on the country's energy sector, Iran has seen a considerable growth in various fields. While some economists beg to differ, there is a nagging question of whether sanctions imposed by the United Nations and a number of countries against Iran took their economic toll on Tehran. Iran's non-oil exports are on the rise, and that's a positive sign for an economy that's been under the oil curse. The curse, which made Iran addicted to oil, meant that the country postponed any real and meaningful economic reform. Still, Tehran is providing numbers that say otherwise.
صادرات غیر نفتی ما در 3-4 سال اخیر چندین برابر شده و به در واقع بالای 50 میلیارد رسیده در بعضی سالها. بنابراین ما داره یک ظرفیت خالی هستیم که اگر بتونیم یک درصدی از تقاضامون و بازارهامون توسعه بدیم با پدیده‌ای به نام کچ آپ که در ادبیات اقتصاد در واقع مطرحه میتونیم مواجه بشیم.
چند سال قبل
Iranian first vice president says non-oil exports have increased to $36 billion from $7 billion. Mohammad Reza Rahimi said these exports will pass $45 billion in value to set a record this year. So what does this mean in economic terms? That Iran will have the highest growth rate under the toughest economic sanctions. Iran says sanctions, including a U.S. boycott of gasoline supplies to Iran, only strengthen the country's national resolve and push Tehran towards self-sufficiency in many areas, including gasoline production. It may not have been an easy ride, but sanctions made Iran realize much of the potential the country already possessed. Iran today went to the southwestern city of Mahshahr and spoke to the CEO of Bandar Imam Petrochemical Complex about how Iran underwent all these changes in such a short period of time.
بعد از اینکه کشور نیاز پیدا کرد به بحث بنزین و بحث واردات بنزین هم تحت شعار مسائل سیاسی قرار گرفت، تصمیم گرفته شد که از این پتانسیل‌های موجود برای کاهش این فشارها استفاده بشه. خوشبختانه این امکانات در پتروشیمیا وجود داشت و تصمیم گرفته شد که یه بخشی از این امکانات رو اختصاص بدن به تولید بنزین.
Until these sanctions, Iran was forced to rely mostly on imports for its gasoline consumption. The Iranian government says that ultimately the U.S. fuel embargo on the country proved to be ineffective after Tehran increased domestic production, reached self-sufficiency, and even got to a point where it was able to export gasoline. Even though Iran faced its fair share of problems, Akbarian says they proved to be a blessing in disguise.
ما در بحث بنزین، در صنعت تولید بنزین، یه مشکل اساسی در کشور داشتیم و در سرلوحه تحریم قرار داشت بنزین و اینها یکی از پارامترهایی که می‌خواستن به ما ضربه بزنن بحث بنزین بود که الان به ارشاد ما شما تولید و خودکفایی رسیدیم. البته باید از این به بعد بریم به سمت کیفیت بنزین.
Iran has been trying hard to overcome US-led sanctions on the country and still come out with a resilient economy. In 2007, Iran's leader called for a push toward privatization. That was seen by many as a renewed effort to privatize the economy. In 2010, the government of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said that it hopes to raise some $12.5 billion by privatizing more than 500 state-owned firms. That same year, the Iranian government accelerated the privatization program, selling off the assets of 50 companies, which were worth around $110 billion. The country's privatization organization called March 2009 to February 2010 the golden year of privatization.
ما بحثی که بیشتر در کمیسیون صنایع و کمیسیون اصل 44 داریم پیگیری میکنیم فعال کردن مردم. اقتصاد دولتی، صنعت دولتی، تولید دولتی با توجه به اینکه واقعیت است باید قبول بکنیم، ریخت پاش زیاد، رانت زیاد، هر چقدر آدمای مؤمن و متخصص خوب هم در رأسش بذارین دلسوزی کم، این به جای ما رو نمیرسونه.
To bring economic jihad ever closer to a reality, Iranian officials are taking great strides towards making foreign investment more accessible and reliable.
در حوزه سرمایه‌گذاری‌ها به ویژه سرمایه‌گذاری خارجی فعالیت‌های بسیار وسیع انجام شده. اصلا قانون سرمایه‌گذاری خارجی به نحوی سهل و آسان شده که هر سرمایه‌گذار خارجی مانند یک سرمایه‌گذار ایرانی میتونه در حوزه‌های اولویت داری که ما در اقصی نقاط میهن پهناور اسلامیمون داریم و بخش‌های مختلف این مجراهای مولد رو معرفی کردن میتونه سرمایه‌گذاری بکنه و بالاترین امنیت سرمایه‌گذاری هم از جانب نهادهای مربوطه تضمین میشه.
کریمی says one way to make sure the economy will maintain a healthy flow is this.
ما باید صادراتمون بیش از وارداتمون باشه و اون هم حتی نه فقط مسئله نفت، بلکه بتونه کالاهای غیر نفتی ما با کالاهای واردات ما به صورتی تنظیم بشه که تراز مثبت داشته باشیم. یک اقتصاد پویا به این صورت هست که حتما تراز مثبت رو خواهد داشت.
Iran has incorporated a 20-year vision in which the country is expected to be at the height of economic, technological and scientific fields by the year 2025. The country's five-year economic development plans are part of that 20-year outlook which started back in 2005. The plan is Iran's central blueprint for long-term sustainable growth. Mr. Safavi says in order to ensure an advanced and developed economy in light of the 20-year vision and the five-year development plans, a roadmap was designed within the last few years. He goes into details of the roadmap and says that it might just pay off.
حوزه هدفمند کردن یارانه ها، اصلاح قوانین پولی بانکی، گمرکی، بیمه ها، بانک ها، موضوع مالیات ها، توسعه پایه های مالیاتی و ارزش گذاری پول ملی، اصلاح شبکه های توزیع، اینا هفت محور مهمی این طرح تحول اقتصادی که نقشه راه و در واقع کالبد حرکت رشد اقتصادی کشور هست طراحی شده.
A Goldman Sachs report on global economics indicates that Iran is forecast to reach the highest economic growth between 2015 and 2025 and join the world's largest economies. According to the US-based banking group, Iran will have the potential to be the world's 12th economy by 2025. The Goldman Sachs, which is an American investment banking and securities firm, says Iran has the potential to become as rich as Germany today, which makes the country an exciting prospect for foreign investors.
We estimate
this is while the World Bank on its report on global economy in 2010 predicted that Iran's economic growth will become double in 2011. The World Bank says Iran's economic growth will reach 3% in 2011. Still, no one will deny that for the average Iranian, times are tough. The country's economy is facing a difficult era. For the longest time, the Iranian economy has been characterized by an extensive state presence and a dependence on oil that's been more like a spell. Still, Iranian officials are well aware of all the problems they are forced to deal with and hope to change all that through economic jihad.